Aaron Nesmith has scored.
Woo. Aaron hits the three.
Both prediction is alive.
Everyone's smiling. Perfect.
John always starts at the bottom of the roster. No Brown.
The bottom of the roster. No, he should be at least midway through the roster.
I think that's what John was starting. That's why he led with that. Exactly.
Aaron Nesmith did it, folks.
So it's aspirational.
He scored. And Peyton Pritchard ran around fast. That was something that you guys texted me about. I was like, oh, what did I miss? I was like, he looks – the box score says he didn't score. And you're like, well, he ran. I'm like, oh, we terrific.
He
moved
no, he opened things up well.
Yeah.
That's exactly but he did not break away from the pack like my guy Nesmith showed signs of being able to do tonight. It's amazing what can happen when you give
a shot.
Him the opportunity. He did because he was able to take a shot.
He made a shot.
Yeah.
And again,
which is what he does.
By double digits.
Which is what he does. And you know what? They could have used one of his shots two nights ago.
But he didn't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's discuss.
Okay, get me started.
Let's just start, okay?
Let's go.
I don't know. I'm curious the mood of the people here as they still kind of flood in, you know, coming in. But this was a horrible game against a horrible team. And I don't know how else you put it that way. And the Celtics scored 92 points, which really against the Magic is like scoring 60 points against a real team. So this was a gross effort.
John doesn't
the
whole, care about stuck defense
with the program.
At all.
No, the whole first. The whole first half, this wasn't defense. This was Orlando being offensively challenged, okay? This was
the defense was great.
It was fine.
You thought it was great, Bobby?
Yeah, 8 blocks through that portion in the third quarter, getting out on three-point shooters.
I thought it was good. And good only because, one, they won, and two, they beat a team they were supposed to, and three, they weren't relying on shot-making to win. That's, to me, was a big takeaway for me, the fact that they actually won a game and didn't have to shoot lights out to do so.
Yeah.
Because,
right.
You know,
but,
before right. this game,
you know
before
why?
This game, when they won games, they averaged like 123 points in victories. So for them to kind of have to, I wouldn't say grind it out, but certainly not win based upon how well they shot the ball is huge. But to John's point, Orlando sucks.
This is a brutally bad team.
Yeah, but
when
you
they
gotta,
go back and look at the film and they look at all the open shots that Orlando missed, they're going to be like, damn.
Celtics did what they had to do. Look, this is when you're a good team and when you're playing well and you run into a game like this and you drag ass in the first half and then you're like, okay, how much effort do I have to put into winning? 12 minutes ought to do it, and you do it. And then you win, and you're like, that's great. You need a few of those games. This was one of those games. It's not a feel-good game, but it's right. a game that, like, okay, all I need is about 12 minutes of effort, and that's good enough to beat a team like this.
Well,
and
you they said they weren't a good job, team, though. You said they weren't a good team.
No, but I'm saying that's you make that take when you're a good team, and you're like, great, we got away with one. So in this case, they got – that's all they needed to beat a really, really, really bad team, and they did it, and that's great. And if they lost, it would be – oh my God! All hell breaks loose. So yes, they won. How many positives are you taking out of the game? Like we were looking for a lot of things. We haven't even gotten to the real story, which we will later. But what did you like from this game? Obviously, Jaylen good, Tatum bad. What did you like in terms of cohesion, ball movement, team defense, things like that? Like, what did you guys see that you liked here?
This was the second game where I thought defensively they did a better job of not switching every damn possession. They actually tried to stay attached to the man they're guarding. And to me, when you're doing that and then you would occasionally have you switch out, that's okay. But you have to at least make an effort to keep your ass attached to the man you're guarding. I thought they did a better job of that for the most part tonight against Orlando. But again, Orlando sucks, man. I mean, there's no way of getting around it. This is a badass team. They're going to have one of the top three picks in the draft. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind about that. They're that bad.
That's true. That's true. But given with everything that's happened, though, I think this was a good win for the Celtics because they stuck with the program on the offense, right? They kept moving the ball. There was no, you know, selfish playing. There was no ISO. And I feel like the fact that they came out with that energy, especially in the second half, after halftime, I don't know if they heard about the Woj report or not. Maybe that was something that was in the locker room saying, hey, guys, let's go out and show everyone. You know, maybe, maybe not. Either way, they stuck with it. You know, it's tedious. It's to them, you know, it's hard to get out of their way sometimes, but they stuck with it. You know what, John? I think you would have felt a lot worse if this team won and they had to make 23 pointers to get there. No,
yeah, like, no. I feel like
that's good. You know, it was ugly. It wasn't a pretty win.
They were
suffocating
to open the third. They held
the Magic to win, but they stuck with the program. I mean, I think that's what that's what stands out the most here, that third quarter in particular.
I know it's a tough one to assess in that regard, because like you're saying, okay, they won a game without having to shoot the lights out, which is great. But I'm also insanely concerned with 10 for 37 from three, and Jason Tatum going, you know, 4 from 16 and 1 of 6 again. Like, these are bad things, you know, and like, it's great, but I mean, I wonder how many NBA teams you beat with an effort like this. Whatever defense that you saw aside here, this was not like a super pretty, performance from them.
Well, they're gonna have to be a defense. We knew that coming into the year. Shooting's bad. The playmaking's questionable. They got to scrap by putting together large sections of stops throughout the course of a game, and that's what they're gonna have to do. Whether it's Orlando. Toronto's not a great team either, and that's a team that took it to them, and the Magic did for portions in the first half. To come out and clamp a team down for almost an entire quarter like the Celtics did in the third tonight, you know, this isn't – it's a young team. It's an inexperienced team in Orlando, but they're not a bad team. There's talent here. Suggs.
Wait, what?
They're a bad team.
There's some scoring talent on this roster. Cole Anthony can bring it to you.
He's not starting to stop you at the other end of the floor.
I know, but I'm saying in terms of what the Celtics did on defense. Yeah, that's true.
The thing about Orlando is that, Bobby, they do have some serviceable players, but this is not a good team. And I didn't feel that the Celtics locked them up as much as Orlando just didn't make shots that most NBA teams, I think, have guys who can make. This game would have been a lot closer if they would have played a better – slightly better team. But again, you can't pick who you play when you play them. You just simply play the games on the schedule. And to the Celtics' credit, they handled their business. They got the win. Now, tomorrow, that's going to test them.
Well, we'll get there. We'll get there for sure. But for real, just on this game alone, are you coming away from it with a good feeling, bad feeling, or meh? You know,
I'm meh.
Yeah,
Jimmy, we haven't heard much from you. Go.
Yeah, I can't get a freaking word in. Everyone's jumping all over each other here.
When you're late.
Everyone's jumping all over each other.
This is like.
Wow, you couldn't hold on to it. Huh?
This is like Jay.
Late. I was on time. I just couldn't get my shit together.
Jimmy just pinned it on the glass.
Yeah. All right. Then I'm going to bring receipts to every show where I'm waiting for somebody's ass on this show.
John was trying to hold back those words, and they just came out.
I was trying to be funny, fumbling with the camera, and I messed it up.
This is exactly what you get. Anyways.
We're going to call you Jalen. Come get the ball, Jimmy. Let's go.
With the block.
I'm Marcus Smart, standing in the corner, complaining and bitching about it after the game. All right, back on track here.
I unplugged my camera trying to be funny, fumbling good. With stuff like
yeah,
you
well,
were beforehand.
It's the best you've looked.
That's what you get. That's what you get.
Speak, I don't even Jimmy, know speak. Where the hell I was. Listen, if you've been following the Magic at all, which I'm sure most of us haven't, you know that they've been keeping games relatively competitive. Yes, they've been losing, but they're not just rolling the ball to the court and taking an L. I mean, this was by far their lowest scoring game of the season. They did beat the Knicks, a team that you guys couldn't beat earlier this season. They've competed with others.
Now the Celtics are you. Jimmy's disassociated himself. Yeah, it's not we.
Never been we. Go find a time where I've said we.
I know, but now the Celtics are you.
Yeah, they're like you. They're more like ugh, you. You disgusting piece of pile or whatever. So I'm going to say it's a win. I'm not going to crown the Celtics because you know what that means? That means that you're not holding them to the same standard that you were when the season started. Just because they came out of the gate so freaking flat doesn't mean that we should now hold them to those standards. Like, oh, good win over the Orlando Magic. Like, it shouldn't really mean not a whole lot in the grand scheme. But after what we just saw 2 days ago, after a reportedly horrible – what does that even mean? I don't even know.
You got your little Frenchy striped shirt.
This is actually nautical.
Oui, merci.
Sorry, I just got off my boat. That's why I was late.
Yeah, how's Brandon this time of year?
Charlie guy. Hustle over here. Coming off the loss that they just had and coming off of what sounded like a very entertaining plane ride, at least they can scratch out a win here. Now, they might still be at each other's throats, and I'm very interested to see what comes out of post-game, assuming any of the players talk. The most interesting part of this whole game was the halftime report on ESPN. It wasn't even on the same game.
I'm trying to slow play.
Yeah, we'll get to it. I know
about the game a little, but yeah.
Right, but you have to consider the fact that Josue's favorite conversation occurred, and they still were able to put our win even after whatever the hell went on.
We don't even know if that occurred, but.
Garden Report is brought to you, as always, by our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Go to betonline.ag. Use the code CLNS50 for a 50% welcome bonus on your initial deposit. BetOnline is back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back for another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. A new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, contests. BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. Once again, use the code CLNS50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your initial deposit. From football to basketball, boxing, your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. Once again, BetOnline, where the game starts. Use the code CLNS50 for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit.
Well, I don't know how I couldn't have.
How much are you guys buying this whole breakfast thing from Brad?
Well, we'll get to that too, I imagine. But anyways, that's my take on the game. I was fine with the game. I mean, they got the win. I expected a win, and we would have been absolutely trashing them if they lost. So at least it's worth acknowledging some of the things that they did well, while also knowing that, yeah, there are still some glaring issues. Tatum doesn't look right.
He does not.
Brown looked fine. I mean, Jaylen Brown was carrying them in that first half. I thought, you know, it's mind-boggling, I guess, sometimes the way he can turn it on in spurts.
And the thing that you just pointed out, Jimmy, about Tatum – I don't know if there is something up with him, because I don't know if you guys noticed it or not, but at the last home game, every time Tatum came off the court, he immediately
right
jumped
on
the mic.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And he wasn't the only one that did
What he pulled up in one game and remember he grabbed at the calf.
Mm-hmm.
That's the game. I don't know if that's the first time he went to the bike, but he did right after that. And he's been on the bike every single break since. I just can't remember if he was doing it before or not.
See, I can't remember either, but I don't remember it being something that Tatum did with any type of regularity when we were around him.
No.
And because with Al doing it, I get it, because Al's
end of last season, wasn't he on the bike, right?
He was doing it at the end of last season when he came back from COVID. He was doing it.
End of last season, he was doing it. So. Right. There's got to be some speculation there. Is something tight? You know, is he not moving the way he should?
The finishing's weird. That's the weird part.
Is there something
with
his
point blank? And then just
if it's lower body, then that can explain a lot. You know, if that can explain the shot being off, that can explain the lack of explosiveness or willingness to go to the rim. We just don't know. And it would be, I mean, I guess Bobby, next time you're in the or Sherrod or Josue, any of you guys who are.
I mean, he was equal opportunity missing. He missed. He missed like six shots in the paint. I mean, you know,
he had a bad preseason too. You know,
he was
just
all over the place. He had six shots within, you know, inside the free throw line, eight shots within the free throw line. He made two, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and you know, the 1-3, made one long two, missed one long two. That's his whole ball game right there. It was a brutal day. I mean, brutal. He can't score from anywhere. So we were talking about it beforehand. Is he like, I mean, he's not able to do anything with if he's not knocking. That's the problem with Tatum. If he's not knocking down those contested shots with regularity, you don't really have to respect any part of his game because he's not blowing by you. And even if he does, he's not an exceptional finisher. So you can really play him straight up. It's not like he's got that super quick first step where he's just going to beat you. He's only going to do that if you're overplaying the shot because you don't want him to put it in your eye. But when he's not hitting those, you almost want him to take that shot right now. So, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that he's got to figure out a way to be significantly impactful when his shot isn't falling. I look back at I had a chance to watch the Suns play New Orleans the other night, and Devin Booker was absolutely garbage shooting the ball. Yet he came up with steals. He blocked a shot at the rim. And you're talking about your starting shooting guard blocking shots at the rim. He did so many little things that, yeah, he wasn't making shots. But damn it, he was making his presence felt in other ways where you knew he was not just engaged, but he was impactful. Tatum's got to figure out what can he do when shots aren't falling for him. That is part – when Marcus Smart was talking about guys, you know, just have to basically be better, that to me is part of what Tatum's deal is. He's already proven he can score with anyone and everyone in the league. But what can you do to help your team win besides scoring and making shots?
Yeah, that's a great point. No, and it seems
so
like
far nothing.
When he's frustrated,
I mean, honestly, see, he'll have games where he'll get a decent amount of rebounds, but rebounds
it's not a rebound,
they're nice, though. But they don't necessarily put your imprint on a game the way a block at the rim or a big steal.
Rebounds
or a nice
are usually you were there, you know? Like, I mean,
well,
it's not
some guys know where to be. Yeah. Some guys know where to be. Some guys make a habit of doing it. That's not Tatum's game. And they don't, I don't really necessarily think that they're like wanting him to do that. But to Sherrod's point, you got to be more than just
Tatum's
somebody
gonna
who can
have
score
10 rebounds
25
and
nine.
He's got the size,
I mean,
he's got the length, he's got the
pedigree.
Well,
it's fine because it's a team effort. You're not, you don't have, you know, just one beast under there, you know, cleaning up the board. So it's understandable.
Tatum misses box outs a lot. He does. He's got a
nobody
step
boxes out.
It's
the NBA.
Yeah, but you can't let a guy walk right by you for putbacks.
It's not so much, and we've talked about it, it's not so much the personal stats. It's the wins and losses.
He's not beasting for these rebounds, by the way. No. He's not like, you know, going up and out.
No.
It's just he's there and he's grabbing boards when he's in the right place defensively. They're not like he's not up there battling guys for rebounds. They're not impressive, like fight for the rebound rebounds. They're just rebound. They're empty calories right now. So pointing out that he gets 10 rebounds.
They're a bad rebounding team.
Yeah, they are. And someone's got to grab those misses. But I mean, he's not out there, you know, going up and over and getting like really, really contested rebounds. He's just getting the balls that are coming off the rim. For the most part. I mean, I'm trying to remember, you know.
Well, it's better than fourth quarter of last game where they didn't get one single defensive rebound.
When a team shoots 82% for the quarter, it's there's not a lot of misses.
Well, no, I think they had three misses that they didn't get the rebound.
You got to get one.
Yeah. Well, that goes back to not having any transition offense and not and ending up in ISO mode. And that's when you find guys. And that's, you know, what Marcus Smart was talking about. But it was a very unique situation the way that quarter went because there were just zero stops, like literally zero stops. So you don't get those transition buckets. You don't get guys whipping the ball around up, you know, with a guy lagging, a defender lagging in behind. That was actually the Celtics for that quarter. They were the team that was doing that quarter. So that played a huge part into that Bulls comeback. But, you know, for me, when it's talking about Tatum and Brown, yeah, you want to see them pad the stats and all that. But the only things like Celtics fans should care about is the wins and losses and closing out these games and doing whatever it takes to win. If that means 10 rebounds one night and 15 points, fine. If that means 35 points one night and 5 rebounds, fine. It doesn't really matter what the stat lines are. If, as long as you're doing what it takes to get your team wins, and a lot of people are wondering if these guys are winners and if these guys can get players around them to play better and win games and win championships and get to the NBA Finals. That's really what it comes down to.
Thing I saw that mattered too with what we're going to talk about is deferring to Smart a little bit late in that third quarter. You saw a nice run of Smart on the ball, making three or four plays there where they put this game away effectively there. And, you know, Tatum was willing to bounce it off to him there and let him run a few sets, find Horford underneath, get a nice floater to go, even dish it a Smart for a three on one of those plays there. Smart's getting a little bit better now. I think we're starting to see him come out of this early season slump that he's in, and it was nice to see them actually play off each other a little bit there and give Smart an opportunity to run the offense because it looks good. It looks smooth when he was running it late in that third quarter. So maybe Smart has some semblance of a point there in terms of just getting more looks throughout the course of a game. Although, you know, going back to what Ime said pregame, seems like they got just the right amount of Smart that they want right now. I don't think there's going to be a ramp up in his future.
Yeah, I mean, that was a pretty funny quote from Ime pregame, which was basically addressing the Marcus Smart, you know, standing in the corner. He's like, he's going to stand in the corner sometimes, you know, like it's pretty much what he said.
Yeah.
He's like, look, he's Marcus isn't the guy. He's not the
but
guy.
Why is it going to be the corner?
There, he's not. It's not the corner as much as it is. Sometimes
no,
he's,
but like, that's,
he's going to be off speech. The ball.
But that's actually what they
need space. Damn it.
But that's actually what they do as a team. I posted this screen grab yesterday that got a lot of attention on Twitter, and everybody is just standing at the line. You still don't see cutting on this team. You still don't see that off-ball movement. They can't shoot at the three-point line, but everyone's still camped in the corner, camped on the wings. The movement, it's improved slightly this year, but you still just see a lot of isolation and guys standing around. And when you don't have shooters, it's not the best looks. When we talk about like how bad isolation is for this team.
Yeah.
So why is it so much easier for someone like Jaylen Brown to mesh in with the program? You know, like tonight, it just seemed effortless in a sense, right? Like whether it was attacking the rim, transition, or just his approach.
Jaylen does a better job of mixing it up.
When you compare with Tatum, yeah, he does a better job mixing it up. I mean, we'll see Tatum mix it up, but it's when the shots are falling.
He also finishes better. He made he had six shots. He had seven. He had seven.
He's running good pick and rolls.
But he also finishes around the rim. He had seven attempts, I think, inside the lane, and he made them all. So like, that's a difference between him and Brown. He gets to the cup and he finishes. That's also something. I mean, him and Tatum. That's also something that he does better.
I just think he sees the floor better. You know, I just think
he has so far this year.
I mean, Jaylen, it just seems like it's the more these guys are playing together, you see the difference between the two.
When Jaylen gets a guy on skates, he's got a huge advantage because he's
got that. And he goes at him.
And he goes right at him. Whereas, again, Tatum is a lot more deliberate, and it's just different. And a lot of times, especially going to his left, he gets stuck in these little weird things where he does this scoop, and he's not going strong. Whereas Jaylen will explode and go strong. You know, who's putting up comments?
I'm going to guess Jimmy.
No, not Bobby. Me. I have not been touching it.
Bobby's smiling. It's Bobby.
So we're going to get there, I guess.
I'm not logged in. I'm not logged in, so it can't be me.
Very quickly, we're going to give a quick shout out. We're going to get calm. We're going to get calm first, then we're going to talk about.
This is such a good deal.
We're going to talk about stuff that was not very calm prior to the game. So we're going to talk about that as well. But first, we want to tell you about our sponsor, Calm. It is the number one app for sleep and meditation. And it is the sponsor of the Garden Report post-game show. It is also, it's basically LeBron James and us. That's what Calm is all about. It's LeBron and the Garden Report.
One and one A.
Yeah, exactly. One and one A. I don't know which one's which, but yeah, that's it.
This is a really good deal. It's like, what is it? 42 for the year?
Yeah.
I mean,
I would say it's the official.
That's not bad.
It's the official listening app for Celtics fans this season because I turned it on again tonight.
It'll get you through the season. Quarter. Right.
Well, I turned the king of the sleeping city.
As soon as I got that.
Bobby,
report,
I'm not going to have your slander again tonight, buddy.
This is good stuff.
Yeah.
No, John got an email last night.
I'm not going to have this slander right
now.
No,
there's lots of good stuff in here.
All right.
As soon as that Woj report came up, I just turned it on. I blasted it a surround sound. What was it called that I put on? I have it right here. The Woj report hits the airwaves, and I'm right watching this. I put on emergency calm. I put this on surround sound, emergency calm. I said, not tonight. Deep breath. This
forget
was for,
emergency podcast. Calm.
This was under Woj's report right there. So it didn't even bother me.
I'm losing my calm, and it has nothing to do with you guys. I'll tell you why in a second.
I thought you tried to get this read.
No, not at all. Has nothing to do with you guys.
You didn't like my read.
The read? No. That's it's calm.com/garden. So calm.com/garden. Limited time, 40% off a premium subscription. All of us have it right now.
We do.
We're all on a trial.
Like $40.50 a month, guys. Come on.
It's nothing. It's good stuff.
Emergency calm.
Yeah. Emergency calm. We take it. We literally listen to it after every post-game show because we're so jacked up when we get off the air. Or Sherrod drinks a bottle of Jack when he gets off the air.
Yeah.
calm.com/garden.
Unlock, that was birthday, Sherrod.
Yeah. Unlock the content to help you focus, ease stress, and sleep better. And as we said, a lot of different things you can get there. You've got the sound effects, rain falling on leaves, bedtime, sleep stories, all of that
meditation
stuff. It's all there. So go check it out, calm.com/garden. Now, we are going to switch to a players only meeting and talk about it a little bit because it ends up being probably a larger story than the game because a win over the Orlando Magic in early November really isn't going to, matter much. It is what it is. You're supposed to win these games, and that's fine. Jimmy, yes?
Yeah, what was bothering you?
Oh, I'll tell you in a second. I'm going to tie it all together, okay?
Oh, okay, because I'm worried.
I'm tying it all together.
He's Celtics putting the ball players, in it right now, guys.
Celtics had a players-only meeting prior to the game in Orlando, I guess last night, actually, when they got into Orlando. And so that was a story. Woj dropped it. you know, prior to the game, or he dropped it during the game while they were actually playing. So that's one story, players only meeting. It's not great that you're having those 7 games into the season, because usually that's like a last resort. You pull, you know, you do that 40, 50 games in, and you really only get one of these, because if things don't get better right after your players only meeting, you're in trouble because you have no more outs. So you've played this card really early, okay? You got one lifeline. Oh, yeah, you got your play right. Yeah.
Well, John, that team got 2 meetings. I believe so. Marcus Morris told me they had 2 meetings that year.
So Ime Udoka clarified it wasn't quite a team meeting. We had a dinner, but the players had a little time beforehand. Whatever. That doesn't matter. What does matter
I wasn't
is,
invited.
According to the report, the Celtics meeting was emotional, not terribly productive, or necessarily beneficial, according to Woj. And the tone of the way he was saying this was basically like, they yelled at each other and really wasn't, I don't know if it was productive. I don't know if it was beneficial based off of the reports that I have. So he's obviously talking to people who were there.
Who did not necessarily beneficial.
I love
who's
that.
The rat. It must be a player, right?
Not necessarily beneficial. So I now here's what just pissed me off. It just got me not calm a second ago. Ime spoke, mentioned this, and that's about it. But last game, Marcus Smart went off on Jaylen Brown. Jaylen and Jason declined to talk in that game. Okay. You've got 3 principals you want to hear from right now. Smart, Jason, and Jaylen. Right now,
we don't know if Jason was asked, though, for the record.
Right now, according to Murphy, asked and declined. Okay. Jaylen was scheduled. Tatum asked and declined.
Jaylen was scheduled. Yeah, I know that. But okay.
Anyway, right now, 2 players are coming out to talk after this post game. Okay, Ime has talked. Right now, Al is one of those people. We don't want to hear from Al Horford.
They're just going to send Al on
again.
Hey, he had a great game.
Was Al
named the captain and I didn't hear about it?
But
because if he was, then trot his ass out there every time.
He has no official title.
To be fair, it was an Al podium game. It was, but
don't be fair, Bobby. Okay, none of this crap.
Brown podium game.
So Al Horford doesn't want to acknowledge the players only meeting. And he doesn't say it was anything serious.
But nice no Brown?
Nice to break bread Relax. Together, hang out. That's what Al said about it, okay? No one's addressing this emotional meeting, according to Woj. No one's addressing this not terribly productive or necessarily beneficial meeting, according to Woj. And no one has yet to address the Marcus Smart comments. Really, Ime did a little bit before the game, where he basically threw Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum under the bus. And Ime talked about it a little, and that's that. You had Brad Stevens do a feel-good tour going on NBC and saying, oh, these guys had breakfast together. They're working it out. They want to win. But I don't care what they say, okay? We have this report. So it's your choice to believe what the Celtics are telling you or believe the report, which is there's still tension here. And that's the concern, is they have a meeting and it's not necessarily worked out. What's up, Jimmy?
So no one else is coming out to talk? Is that what you're saying?
We think one more.
Oh, okay.
It's gotta be Jaylen tonight.
It's gotta be Jaylen.
Gotta be Jaylen.
Yeah. It's gotta be Jaylen.
So then it'll probably wind up being Nesmith.
It's gonna be Grant. It's gonna be Grant.
We don't hear from Grant enough. Rob's post-game interviews last year, no joke, averaged like 2 minutes and 11 seconds. It'd be like 2 questions and nobody else knew what to say, and he'd be like, peace out. And that was it. So anyway,
it's a good way to get reporters.
So this is what we have right now. So we'll see.
Woj heard it from a player. If it was a player's agent, Shams would have had the report, because all he does is just copy and paste what agents tell him. But I don't know. I don't know what player talked to Woj.
Sherrod doesn't like media on media crime here, Jimmy.
I don't, man. Woj doesn't talk to agents either. Man.
Oh, I'm sure he does. I know he does.
These are transactional journalists, but you know that's what they are.
I'm not. I really don't care who told him. I just want to get a sense of how real that is. Because first of all, when you have a team meeting or whatever like that, someone has to be the orchestrator of that. Someone has to be the big boy, the dad in the room, if you will, to say, hey, we need to talk about this. I'm not sure that was what happened, because that would have meant that Marcus would have just said, everyone, we need to get together, or Al would have said, we need to get together. And I don't think Marcus would have done that because Brad Stevens had said, you know, when he did his tour thing, that Marcus had already talked to those guys. So at that point, why do you need to bring everyone else in if you've already talked to those guys separately?
No, you may say it was an already scheduled dinner. So
it was already scheduled dinner, and they left the player some time. So yes. Was it out at a restaurant? Did these guys start friggin' throwing plates at each other? Like, how did it get? At Morton's, like, what happened here? Yeah, you know, like,
well, maybe it was one of those, you know, waiter, your chef kind of situations for Woj. Maybe you heard through the busboy that there was a players only meeting going on there. Yeah.
Well, there's usually like something of significance that you see in the way they play after that. Like somebody plays with a harder edge. There's a transformational moment in their next game out.
Well, not only that, but there's always a positive takeaway from it. Oh, they settled some things. Oh, they got it all out there. But it's so easy to spin these things.
We're
but
brothers. We're going to fight. Says, you get those,
Woj,
right?
Woj comes out and says, it wasn't terribly productive. And what was the line to cap it
or
off?
Or necessarily beneficial.
I feel like you never hear that. That's like when you hear like, oh, like so-and-so player went through surgery today, it was unsuccessful. Like you never hear it was unsuccessful. It's always just successful.
It was emotional at times, but in the end, not a terribly productive meeting. And then it was maybe not even beneficial.
I'm gonna go Xanis and come with a relational analogy and just say, this is the blind date where they asked you how to go and you said, nice personality.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, personality. Yeah.
I was going to say this is every marriage where you haven't talked in a while. And the first time you do, you bring up one thing and it immediately devolves into shouting. That's what these guys are. This is just a contentious relationship.
You think the meeting started with
Jason? Jason was like, so Marcus, you just want to call me out, huh? And then everyone just started screaming.
Jalen was like, I just think it's funny.
Exactly.
And they asked Tatum, like, hey, how are you, Tatum? He's like, I'm okay. But he really wasn't okay. But that's like kind of what happens in those relationship fights.
It was just a friggin' food fight, like Animal House, you know, and that's it. That's all that happened in there.
Well, maybe that's part of it, right? Everyone getting out, they feel and how they feel. And it's the first step, I guess. I don't know. We'll see. Because I think when they use those words, I think it's because it's objective as to who was in the room and whether it was counterproductive or not, you know.
But here's the other thing though, real quick. Even if it was successful, quote unquote successful,
what does that mean?
First of all, what does that mean? It's just a bad thing to have a players only meeting anyways, especially at seventh game of the regular season. I don't even care if it was successful. Why are you having one? Why do you need one? You guys have had all summer to like figure this shit out. Like, why are we having a players only meeting? It's not like a brand new team is here.
Well, my bigger issue is this. We talked about it.
What Woj said. These are issues.
So that's my other question. And this is something we talked about on our thread earlier. And this is what's concerning is, okay, in the middle of this is clearly Marcus and the Jays in some dynamic there is irksome. I don't know. We don't know what it is, but something there's off kilter a little. Okay. A little bit. That's where it's stemming from. We don't know if who is annoyed with who or what or whatever, but clearly there's something that's bothering.
I think we're trying to see a little bit of a picture build here.
We are, but however, if this is a thing that's been going on, okay, and Marcus is in the center of it, and Brad was the coach last year and therefore would have very intimate knowledge of what's going on behind the scenes, why would you bring this? Why would you run it back like this? Why would you extend Marcus knowing that you might have some issues here that are unresolved and that you're not sure whether you're going to be able to resolve? The narrative around this team last year was this, that there's dysfunction. They're not playing for one another. There's problems there. We didn't hear them like really pissed off or calling each other out left and right, but there were issues there. So like, why are you doing this again?
Here's the thing, and this is what we've talked about with Smart in the past, and even just yesterday with the comments, like, there's some truth to what he says. We may not like how he said it or how he's delivering it.
I wrote about it. I don't think there's anything wrong with what he said.
So, like, your piece put it perfectly. Smart's the one who's going to deliver on this kind of thing that we talk about this team needing. And Ime, to some degree, has tried to do it, too. I do think there's a sense in this organization with the coach they've chosen and with keeping Smart around that the Jays need to hear these things, that they need to actually start to implement this toughness, this playmaking, all these different things into their game. It's just how receptive are they going to be to it? And to this point, whether it's the bubble with the locker room feud or last year with how they approached the game or even this year so far, they don't seem all that receptive to it. It's like, we can solve the game with our scoring, and we're going to continue to do that.
Yeah, leave me alone and let me just hoop, and that'll work itself out. And then it isn't.
Because what happens if you pull Smart out of the room in a trade where you maybe don't get perfect value for him? You lose that voice in the room. You lose the presence that they like. And maybe it doesn't make you all that much better. The big question is what they could have gone for Smart.
Bobby, you know who you become at that point? The Portland Trailblazers. That's who you are. If you take Smart out of the equation, you become Portland, a team with a couple of really good players and a lot of pieces that seem like they're pretty good, but for whatever reason, that team doesn't gel. That team doesn't move the needle. And Marcus Smart gives them that potential because Marcus, at some point, you knew at some point, Marcus was going to hit them with some straight no chaser truth. And that's what he did the other night. But the one problem I had with what Marcus said was I didn't feel that the accountability that he was wanting them to provide, he was providing for himself. I would have loved
that's the problem with him.
I got to shoot the ball better. I would have loved for him to just make one reference to that because we don't expect Marcus Smart to be
that would have helped
anything like that. But what he's shooting now is bad, even by Marcus Smart standards, bad.
Yeah.
And that to me was the elephant in the room that when he was kind of laying everything out, he just didn't quite mention that, which I had a problem with that.
There's no doubt it lands more softly if he has accountability for himself. And the funny thing is Al Horford comes out after that. He's like, actually, I'm the one to blame. And we're like, you're literally the only one playing well, you know?
Yeah, so
That's it's such almost a bad thing to do.
I did it.
Kids aren't so bad. It's me. They got it from me. Dad is the one. Be mad at dad. Blame dad. Kids, it's okay. Dad got it.
Al read the room and he was like,
that was me. Go on. That was me.
We knew it was you, Jimmy.
Keep it moving.
At least you didn't come out of your body.
I was just trying to check out our, there's an ad that showed up. Stupid ad on our own segment.
Jimmy's watching our show.
At least it was electronic and not anatomical.
I like to check to make sure that they're running.
Anyway. The thing
you
with
say
me
runs?
And, the runs, yeah. Thing with me and Smart was this: if he was, we've always. How many times have we said, "Where's Marcus, the leader, last year? Why isn't he grabbing these guys by the scruff of the neck and saying, get with it?" You know. And to me, Mark, that's what you want from him. You've never anointed him that guy or that leader based off his field goal percentage. So the fact that he's shooting a few ticks south of his already crappy career field goal percentage this year doesn't take away.
It's like one miss off a game. Yeah,
he's one. That's what I wrote. It's one miss per game. He didn't lose that right because he's making one less basket per game over six games. That's who he's supposed to be. But you're right. If he'd put himself in with those guys and said, "Look, and I've been crap. I'm going to admit it, but we got to play better. And it starts with those guys. They're our best players, and they've got the ball in their hands the most there, and they got to move it because we're stagnating on offense." You know, that's a different story. He didn't deliver it great. I don't care that the whole like Marcus shouldn't be the messenger thing, I think was a little bit overblown. But that being said,
that's thinking micro. That's a micro thought instead of macro.
Yeah. We haven't
the message needs to be, if you want Marcus Smart to be the leader that everyone says he is, the heart and soul of this and that, then you can't say, "Oh, he shouldn't say that tonight. He had zero assists.
Right.
Okay, then don't tell him that, don't say he's the heart and soul and the leader and the guy who's been around the team longest and cares about the city the most. It's like, if he is all those things, then you won't complain when he calls out his teammates for not playing the game the right way, even if he himself maybe didn't play the game the way he should have played it that night. Who else is going to call him out? We already know that if Ime says something, everyone's like, "Well, yeah, he's the coach, it's Ime, whatever." Al's not going to say anything, and nobody else really matters on the team. So who's left? Unless you expect Jalen and Jason to call themselves out, which we haven't ever heard them do. Everything is, "We need to do this. We need to do that." It's never me in the sense where it's like, "I need to do this better," or "I should be doing this differently." So Marcus Smart is the guy. Maybe And you know what? If it needed to be said, then I'm glad that somebody said it.
Yeah, well, it's again.
It came from a place where even if you don't agree with it, if you're on that team, you respect the person that's coming with it. Which, again, that's
you're like someone had to say it. All right.
Yeah, I mean that's part of being a leader. I mean, having those necessary uncomfortable conversations. Someone has to be the one to ignite those. You know, I'm Joe Swade. I know that's your thing.
Joe Swade was skipping to work yesterday. He's skipping around all day.
They're gonna have an uncomfortable conversation.
He was jumping on his couch. He was jumping on his couch when the Woj report came up. He was jumping on his couch. I told you they were gonna have an uncomfortable conversation.
And we don't know if they did. Dancing. I mean,
what do you mean we don't know if they did? We were just told they did.
Yeah, but my thing about this is we start to hear more and more about this.
I mean, what else do you need?
We talk so much about the Jays relationship, and the more we get bits and pieces of this picture, and we don't get much,
it seems to
be the Jays and Smart. I mean, remember the Jared report last year that, you know, just Smart being too grating on people? And
I mean, you mean the Kemba report?
Yeah, yeah, and that just not being received all the time.
The one where he took it all back like a day later.
I mean, that's fine, but that was, like I said, that was Kemba airing a little bit of dirty laundry there, because that was spraying everywhere a little bit, I thought. But yes, it pointed out some things that may or may not exist, but you're always getting it from one perspective. This is the grain of salt thing you have to take with the Woj report. It's most likely a source, and it's that person's perspective. So that source, whoever they are, didn't believe this was productive or didn't believe it was beneficial.
Romeo Langford.
But who knows if it is or isn't. So that's why these reports are tough.
No.
Romeo is in the menu.
One person didn't think it was beneficial. That's their read on the situation. So you don't know. It might have had some – it could have benefit down the road. It just getting it out there may itself – make things better. I think it speaks to some sort of underlying tension that's there and that's been there, and that maybe someone feels didn't really go away just because of this meeting. Nor does it really need to. You just have to find a way to like be functional, right? Like you can't
The key right there, John. Yeah. I mean, that's the key right there, because tension is going to be there even in good times.
It's fine.
And bad.
None of us like each other.
Exactly. I mean, I can't stand Jimmy and the Pepe Le Pew shirt he's wearing. It's driving me nuts. But what I was love that? Jimmy at the same time.
Can't even hear you guys right now.
They have to figure out how to use whatever that tension is for
en
good.
En français, s'il vous plaît. That's what my French teacher used to say. Every never time Jimmy speaks.
Dude, I'm going to make sure I wear this more often.
En français, s'il vous plaît. No, you're right, Sherrod. They got to find a spot. They got to find a way.
Well, there's another aspect to this, too. You know, we talk about Smart and the Jays and this and that, but if we're looking back 4 years now in this situation, all the players that have left, just everything that's gone on between a variety of personalities going back to 2019, you got Al leaving, you got Hayward leaving. Zach Lowe saying that if Hayward wanted to be here, he'd be here. Like, the Celtics were ready to make that step to keep him around. He just didn't seemingly want to be in Boston. Just numerous players running out of the door at the end of their run here. You got the coach situation changed. You got the GM situation changed at this point. And that's what wrapped up his statement talking about is other things have changed. Issues still remain here in Boston. And you just don't have an idea of where it's stemming from, who it's stemming from, and why. Just no matter who they put in this room, doesn't seem to work. And it's just baffling at this point. Like, every single year going back 4 years now, there's been an issue. And just continues unresolved. How many player meetings at this point? 5, 6 in 4 years, maybe more.
Do you count the fight in the locker room in the bubble a player meeting?
Well,
Jalen Brown at the podium. We'll update what we get out of this.
I was gonna say, is anyone else gone?
Well, I was gonna say, I feel like these feelings probably stem back from 2020 in the bubble, you know. But at the same time, when you hire someone like Ime, new coaching staff, if you're Brad Stevens, you're thinking that was gonna immediately change things, or at least get people to say how they feel and get everything out in the open. But maybe everything has just been prolonged until now, and this is all happening now, whereas it should have been happening training camp or preseason, you know.
I think part of the issue is just trust something that you can't, it doesn't happen overnight. You don't start trusting a coach or trusting guys that you just started playing with just like that. Have to, in your mind, however your calculus works, prove that you can trust them. And when you're talking about on the court, the new guys, I don't think they've done enough to gain the trust of a Jalen and a Jason to be, for those guys to be comfortable with them the way they were with like an Evan Turner or some of the guys they played with in the past. That's going to take time. Same thing with Ime. He may be talking tough and saying a lot of stuff that they want to hear, but that doesn't mean that they necessarily trust him like they did maybe Brad after maybe year 3, 4, 5. So a lot of this comes back to a lack of trust, and that's not a bad thing. That's something that those guys need to work towards trying to establish. I'm not sure they don't have to go through some drama like what we're seeing now to really understand how important they need to trust one another. Like, this is the time when you need to start really connecting with everyone, because you can easily see this thing going sideways in a bad way. Like, if they would have lost tonight, I don't even want to think about how that would have played out in Celtics Nation if they would have got their ass kicked by Orlando, which for there were stretches in this game where it seemed like that just might happen. They got the win. They got Miami on deck, a better team, a much more truer test of whether this Kumbaya Ubuntu moment that they had in this game
is. Oh, don't even say that word. This team doesn't even know what that word means. Ubuntu.
Tell them, Jimmy.
This team has no idea what that word means. I guarantee you, if you ask everyone on this roster, they probably wouldn't know what that word means. Sharon.
They need some more of that Celtics pride, right, Jimmy?
Of course they do, and that's the biggest knock on Celtics these guys.
Pride. Let's just start with pride, period. Pride, your hometown pride, Joe Sway pride, rock the Wi-Fi pride. Give me some kind of pride.
Why is it they don't know what Ubuntu means. They don't know what that means, because if they did, they wouldn't be having all these players' meetings in Game 7. They wouldn't be arguing. They wouldn't be calling each other out already, and they would be winning way more than they are winning. Because Ubuntu was brought into the Celtics culture, they won a championship that year.
What's so frustrating is you got the banners, of course, right up top. You got the new jerseys with the retired numbers and the championships. Like, I don't know how much you guys think this factors in, but like, out of all the other teams that you've seen, every Celtics team you've seen, like, have you seen a team this disconnected to like that legacy and that pride and that, like, you know, this is where, wow, you know, so many championships happened and, you know, Red Auerbach, Bill Russell, all that. I feel like
it doesn't matter to these guys anymore.
The last days, the pre-2008 days were a little ugly. You know,
yeah, but think about it like this now.
Shit. Even Isaiah Thomas knew, you know, he'd have sit downs with Tommy, you know, Tommy Heinsohn.
Well, the Ricky, Mark Blount, those weren't great. Doc almost got canned there. That was a bad situation. Those guys those guys didn't want to be here at all. That was a really looked like you get a bunch of musicians together who've never met each other to go play a gig. Like that's what those teams were like. You know, they all show up, they shake hands, and they're like, I don't know, what are we gonna play tonight? Like that's what those teams were like.
But it's not the same anymore. You know why? Well, those legends of, you know, years past, they're not even really around that much anymore, especially now with the COVID and everything. They're not coming through and hanging out with the players. They're not walking through the locker room.
They got Max.
Okay. Tommy Heinsohn, rest in peace. Yeah, they've got Max. Yeah, they've got, you know, Leon Poe. They've got a few guys, but they don't have the legends of yesteryear walking through there and shooting the shit and hanging out in the hallways that we always used to see. There's John Havlicek. There's JoJo White. There's Bob Cousy. Like, Tommy Heinsohn, rest in peace. Like,
you know what, Jimmy? One of my favorite parts as I plug, you know, Cedric Maxwell podcast, of course, one of my favorite parts of the Paul Pierce interview was the last 5 minutes when he's like, look, like, now I feel like that's my responsibility. Like, I'm, you know, this is Paul, right? That's my responsibility or Kevin's responsibility. Like, we have to remind these guys, this generation, because coming up, you know, that's what we always had, constant reminders, guys, you know, roaming the hallways, you know, guys standing by the sideline, especially when they started winning. For Paul, it resonates even more. 15 years in the city, and he always was connected with that.
The thing that we're not talking about or thinking about is all that stuff sounds great when you talk about the all-time great legends. But think about this from a player's perspective on the team now. That's kind of intimidating when you got Hall of Famers walking up and down the hallway expecting you to keep that tradition alive. That I think there is a level of intimidation.
Oh, God.
I think that's part of why folks don't want to be captains.
Very quickly.
That's pathetic, Sherrod.
And that's not good, Sherrod.
Then they shouldn't be in the NBA if they can't handle the pressure. True.
I don't know about that, but
I do know about that, and Jimmy's wrong on that. Don't be nice, Joe Sway.
What do you disagree with? You don't want to live up to what it's like to be a Celtic?
The expectations that you have for yourself should be personal. It shouldn't have anything to do with any banners up on the ceiling. You need to want to win because you want to win.
That's fine.
But if
a former all-star on the team that you play for walks through the doors, you're gonna cower in the corner. Oh, there's walking down the hallway. Oh, I don't want to play. I don't want to play today. I feel like too much pressure. Right. No, don't think of it that way.
I want to continue
the legacy. Xanis is continuing the legacy, is
Xanis,
what it is.
Hold on, we'll get to Jalen in a second, Xanis. Go ahead, Sherrod. No, I'm just kidding. I'm messing with
Jalen Brown. His last question sounds like it was asked about the Marcus Smart thing, and I think they didn't allow any others after this. And we'll get the full quote, and we'll get a clip, and I'll play it for you guys in a little
Washburn.
But it was Gary.
Nailed
it was Wash.
It.
Yep.
So the question
was basically about Marcus's comments. So finally, a person involved in this was asked.
Of course,
about
G-Dub
this.
Would ask.
It was Gary, and it was the last question. And I'm first. The first.
How many
I'm
words? Sure
the first seven questions were about like, how did you feel in the pick and roll? You know, like anyway.
Jared.
Jalen.
Jalen, what'd you order at that dinner? Would you?
Jalen Brown said the Celtics didn't necessarily need Marcus Smart's comments, but he said he's constantly trying to make himself play better. So Jalen at least addresses it. We didn't need it. And so that was kind of the question.
Great way to put it. That's such a polite,
that's a backhanded way of saying. But it's some bullshit. But
there. You know, here's the thing.
We didn't need
Here's
that.
Why if you're the recipient of these comments, it makes sense why you would think it's unnecessary, because you've been put on blast, you've been called out, it's embarrassing. Part of the potential benefit for someone saying this stuff is to publicly shame you. It's kind of a crappy thing to do to a teammate, but you're trying to put it out into the world and say our guys need to address this problem.
This is for
and
the better good.
That's kind of the point of it. When you go to the media, you made a choice to put it out there because you want it out there. So Marcus, it's a calculated move to say that in a post-game press conference. You want that out there because you want them to feel shame. So if you're the recipient of it, of course you're going to say, Yeah, say that to me. We talk all the time. Why would you say that out there? Because I've said it to you before, and you don't friggin' listen. Whether it's you or Jason or whomever, and we've got this problem, and
it
needs addressing.
Through on your phone.
Yeah, whatever
but,
it is.
But don't forget, we're very proud of you guys. You guys have made tremendous strides.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about that?
Yeah,
he's the longest guy. He's the longest tenured player.
The whole quote I have from B-Rob.
What's up, Jimmy? Hold on.
The whole quote from B-Rob is obviously he said Jalen Brown and Marcus House comments. Obviously, in the midst of trying to win games, it was something that we probably didn't need, but we all communicate and talk to each other. We're all trying to find ways to win, and I'm open to any and everything when guys bring it to me.
Again,
it's a fine quote. It's a fine response. I mean, I don't know what else you want him to say.
It's a fair response, but as I said, I will say that I believe that the intent is to put it out there to make you feel bad publicly, and to let it be known to everybody out there that me and maybe even some other people here feel that this is a thing that's going on, and they aren't being held to account, and they're not holding themselves to account. And so you put it out there for that reason. Is that bad? It could be. I don't know. That's the type of thing that could fracture a team.
It depends on how those who are receiving those comments take it. Are you going to take it and get pissed, or are you going to take it to heart for where I think it's coming from, which is you guys need to be better. We can't be a better team unless you are better in your role. And that was my big takeaway from what Marcus said.
This is a pretty good comment.
Yeah, I saw that too.
You got it.
Yeah. Smart's comments were needed to unite Jays. Reminded them how much they both hate Smart.
It's pretty good. But you know what, though? That stuff happens. I mean, you have old, like, baseball managers and coaches that have tried this tactic, you know, and there's, like, an old Casey Stengel anecdote where, like, every single person hated – they hated each other. So he decided, I'm going to be the biggest asshole in history, and I'm going to make everybody hate me instead, and they'll all be united in that. I'm not saying Smart's doing that, but that is something that you do is – unite in something. Unite in your hatred for me. I don't give a crap, but start playing together or whatever. I don't think that's the case here. I think he just literally wanted to put it out there on them, you know, and that's it.
Yeah. And maybe in the process, maybe get a couple extra shots because I'm just standing in the corner chilling.
Yeah. Also, you can look at it that way and be like, I like basketball, you know?
Yeah.
I just want to play basketball. I just want to play basketball.
I like open look.
Yeah.
We go passer.
But the thing about Marcus, you know, to his point, when you look at the numbers coming into the game at Orlando, he had like the lowest usage rate he's had as a Celtic. It's like ridiculously low. And when you start looking at some of the numbers like potential assists, Tatum's numbers are about the same as they were last year, but his assist numbers are down, which means he's passing the ball just like he did last year, but guys aren't making shots. Same thing with Jaylen. His potential assist numbers, same as they were last year. But his assist numbers, actual assist numbers, are down because guys aren't making shots. So I understand why they might have a little bit late game reluctance to pass you to Rock because they're thinking like, damn, I already passed the ball like 6 times and I got 2 assists.
Yeah, Smart.
And you were open like 3 or 4 of those times. So why don't I just do what I'm kind of pretty damn good at and shoot? That's kind of why they're paying me max money and you're not making max money.
Yeah, Smart's comments didn't add up specific to the Chicago game because, yeah, Tatum was getting triple teamed and throwing out of those and guys were airballing shots and Brown didn't have the ball at all in the fourth quarter. So you talk about Brown being not passing. He doesn't even have the ball in some of these situations, but there's situations where it's valid too. And I think it was more of a collective statement on the season as a whole there. You just got to go back to Smart. Can he do a better job on the court executing these things? He finally did it tonight, I felt like. He's been doing a better job with it. But that question John asked of, all right, are you going to bring back all these guys with a fractious situation here? I like, if you're not going to give Smart that point guard role, put the ball in his hands quite a bit more, why would you upgrade his pay? Why would you, forecast a improvement? Because if you're going to pay a guy higher, you got to forecast some level of improvement in his game. His defense isn't going to get better. I think we've seen the best of his defense. His scoring's not going to get better. His shooting's not going to get better. He needs to be empowered in some way as a passer, as a guy who moves the ball around this offense, is actively involved. So I don't want him having the ball in his hands all the time, but I think he does make a valid point. And all right, I thought I'm the point guard here. What are we doing?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what he signed up for.
Right, you look at who they're playing next, Miami, with Kyle Lowry. Watching him play the other night, damn.
Yo, he went off last night.
I mean, that's who I wanted here. Like, surgical
it was never happening.
The way he was chopping folks up. Yeah. Surgical.
Remember, Bobby, when you said Tyler Harrow was terrible?
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
He was terrible. Bring that back.
You know what I love it? This is the Celtics fan mantra. Jaylen Brown in year 6 is still learning and getting better. Tyler Harrow after a rocky second season is trash. Why would we want to trade for a guy like that?
He was terrible last year.
But I mean, you judge other players after 2 years. We're in years 5 and 6 with these guys.
No, it's just an observation.
No, it's way more than an observation. It's a judgment.
It's a mentality.
Tyler has clearly put the apology cam on a lot of folks for the way he's playing. But let me tell you one thing right now. When he starts flapping his gums about Luka and Trey comparisons, get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
I like that confidence, though.
I like the confidence, but it's based – to me, that's a clear example of what I would call irrational confidence. You have no business thinking you are that damn good.
Yeah, I know what that's like.
Those guys are carrying franchises. You got Jimmy Butler.
I'm confident enough to wear this shirt, obviously.
even if you fill up that confidence with the great, six,
I
seven
wear
games.
I this striped shirt anywhere.
Yeah,
I
even if you fill up the season, with a great start.
It's still look at you sideways and be like, why did you put yourself in the same sentence as those guys? That was way off.
Here's the thing about Hero. When he gets put
that's
out
how
there,
you have to think about yourself, Josue.
Yeah, keep it to yourself, though. We don't need to hear that shit. We don't need to hear that.
I don't mind it. But anyway.
Here's the thing that's impressive about Hero. They'll put him out there some nights as the guy doing everything and leading everything, and he does a really damn good job of it when they put him in those spots. Like, he can just make the whole show function there if he needs to. He's not just catching and shooting like Duncan Robinson or some of these other guys. Thing is, defense. Man, they have to hide him on defense. He will just get abused on that end of the floor.
You mean like all of the Celtics?
You mean like 90% of the NBA?
90% of the NBA that doesn't play defense until like the playoffs. Like,
hey, Miami, Miami's the best defense in the league.
In the last 3 minutes of All-Star game. That's the only time you see defense.
Exactly.
That team is disciplined, though. That team will run you off the floor if you don't keep up, man. So
their defense.
Well, they're a tough team. Jimmy Butler-led team is always going to be tough.
Just put
nails.
Up a good fight, Celtics, please. Please. I don't want
to
see
this is the game that's going to, they're going to win, and we're going to have to change all of our narrative.
Exactly.
That, you know, completely, and be like, oh, whoa, what happened here? You know?
I mean,
like,
I mean, let's be honest. Would any of us be surprised if Tatum went off for like 40 or 50 points? I wouldn't.
I would.
He's so due to have one of
those. Hey, deservedly so. If they beat this team, that'll be a.
That's going to happen for sure.
I could absolutely see that happen.
Yeah, I mean, of course he has it. We know he has it in him, but I haven't seen anything from him recently that makes me think it will happen like tomorrow. But do we know he's capable of it? Yeah, and that's why this season's been so damn frustrating, because we know what these guys are capable of. We know what we've seen in past seasons in spurts. The problem is these guys haven't been able to string it together for an entire season or into the playoffs.
Based it off his track record. I mean, especially back to back. Four shooting nights, you know that next night he's gonna deliver. We've seen it plenty of times, especially last season. And when he got out to a hot start, or when he got out to a cold start rather, against the Knicks, bounced right back. I mean, after back to back performances like this, shooting this way, I think he'll flirt with 40. Well, maybe 35 or so, something like that.
Yeah. You wish the Celtics could have snuck in a little more.
Just like I told you guys, they were gonna beat the Magic. Remember? See?
Yeah, right. it did kind of take
bold prediction.
That was a good one right there. Yeah,
I was waiting for that.
Damn.
Heat 8-point favorites tomorrow.
So, hey, John.
You know, it'll be a statement. Yeah.
Did Rob play tonight?
Yeah.
I thought Rob was all right tonight.
He wasn't bad.
I'm just surprised that we didn't. We almost went the whole show. We went an hour in.
I'm done. Rob's just spare part now.
Don't say
no, he's
that.
Nah, he's been fine.
I'm gonna eat those birds in a couple of months.
I may have to add some Time Lord stock to the portfolio.
Yeah, well, John looks like he's selling, so you might be able
John,
to buy
reread
low right
our
now.
Bold predictions. Reread that.
Don't
I didn't
get
do a
too,
Rob one.
No,
you
I did.
Too low
I said
on
I did,
Rob,
because
John.
I did. You'll feel better. Second okay. half. Told you, second half.
Don't get too low on Rob.
See you.
Well, fact is. He's been out there every night. He's been playing big minutes. He's been putting
and he
up
got
the
hurt
stats
and came back and played. I thought that was huge.
I think we're seeing steps from him just in terms of being consistent. You know, you're not seeing
like I feel like we took two steps back. Now we're seeing a baby step forward. That's not where I wanted. I wanted a leap forward.
I know,
this year.
But we got 11 games of it last year, and then it was gone because he just crumbled the pieces. If he
no,
can
we
get...
didn't. We got 11 games as a starter, and 40 games that preceded that, where he should have been starting, but somebody stubbornly didn't see that.
Right.
John's like, we could have Ben Wallace right now.
Well, the worst part is, and
sorry, hold on, damn it.
What?
What you got?
I don't know.
You got more to that point? Oh, David, I thought you had.
No, no. I was going to do this one more time.
Oh.
No, I'm
not. No, we should do it.
No, we don't have to. I got upset. I yelled. And I just wanted to bring it down.
Yeah.
Calm.com/guardian.
That's
what the Chrome app
can do
for you. It becomes a muscle memory thing to the point where you know when you need to calm
your
app.
Not committing his Brad apology form.
See, we know John hasn't used the app in at least an hour, and this is what. He becomes a monster.
Monster.
He was like, "Where's that app?"
I get emotional about Rob. It's that this bothers me.
Well, speaking of emotional, this name might trigger some people in here. But Jeff Goodman was on the radio recently. Our good friend Jeff Goodman, who should come back on here soon, and he was saying, you know, one of the worst things about the season is how poorly not only Marcus Smart has played, but Rob, because those are really pieces that if you were to think about bringing in a third star of some sort, you could have somebody like Smart, somebody like Rob, package them together with some picks and maybe a young guy and bring in that player. But the way both these guys are, oh God, that's a whole different story. But the way these guys are playing right now, you don't even have that option. So again, we're almost back to where we were last year, where we're like, where are any of the tradable, are there any tradable assets on this team?
They have zero flexibility. They have none. You can't even dream up a trade right now.
Right.
No.
And you know I would.
We know, Bobby. We know.
Somebody, I saw a rumor about, this is probably going to just keep happening, but it was John Wall. That rumor's floating around. That's possibility of John Wall.
That was a report, yeah.
That would be a Horford swap, and you don't even think about doing that the way Horford's playing.
Right. They actually need Horford right now if they want to win games.
Horford's been incredible.
He's the most consistent player.
I mean, that's something they can really build on there if everybody else starts to figure things out here. And, you know, we didn't really kick it around tonight. I was low on it a few nights ago when people started bringing it up. But the young guys, like, I would start to like seeing them mixed in a little more. I've thought about it for a couple of days.
No, Bobby, you're not allowed to say that.
You don't
get
to say that.
Mute him.
I've thought
Aaron
about
Neesmith
it.
Aaron Neesmith hits 1-3. Aaron Neesmith hits 1-3. Now he's back on that bandwagon.
It's not Neesmith. It's Pritchard.
Sorry.
They need Pritchard. Pritchard cannot be a DNP in a game. That is 100%
Pritchard
true.
Is a YMCA player, okay? I mean, he's a
guy.
He got the ball moving
Damn.
Out there.
Wow. I'm not gonna agree with that.
Hey, let him finish.
Although he did skip summer league. He did skip summer league to play a YMCA game, but that's
dropped
that 92. Aside.
And drop 92.
Yeah, yeah.
92.
Yo, he can come play with me at my YMCA.
No, what YMCA did you go to?
Dropping yeah, right.
Constitution Inn in Charlestown. We used to play every
Saturday.
That's a good one, actually.
That's where I go. By the way, it's closing soon.
That's like the best one around, actually.
That's where we used to play in the mornings. I loved it.
Guys, some Celtics players used to play there, too.
Guys who were teetering in and out of the league used to go there sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, because it's like way out of – no one knows it exists.
That was fun. My greatest ever basketball moment was there, dropping a dime to Donnie Marshall. I felt so friggin' good about myself.
Nice.
Yeah, Donnie. Pretty good.
Donnie Marshall.
Yeah, he played with us one time.
I got one from Scal in the media game.
Let's see more Pritchard. Let's see it.
That was the best pass I've ever received in a basketball game.
From Scal?
From Scal, yeah. It was unbelievable. It's
so funny. I was so good about
it. I bet Scal's got a great vision.
I wouldn't pass Scal.
Every one of these guys is an incredible passer, an incredible shooter. Like, they can do anything. Their vision is unreal.
It's like an NBA level. Like, yeah. Like, it was
PhD. Even the clunkiest guy, friggin' PhD in every aspect of basketball. It's not even good. They're so friggin' good.
I, like, blinked and it was in my hands. I was like, whoa.
So good. Remember what was the Scal when he went to the gym and somebody challenged him to one-on-one?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Oh, I love that
two
line.
Two guys. And he,
that was
and
like
he
a
just,
Toucher and Rich thing, I think.
And he just was like, okay. And he beat him 11-0.
They were like former D1 basketball players or something. Too.
Yeah.
The line he always drops
40.
Is, oh, I'm trash? Okay. But I'm closer to LeBron than you'll ever be.
Yeah. Scal's got size. Scal can put the ball. Yeah. He's,
all right. That's enough Scal.
He's got it all.
It doesn't matter. They're all good. We're going to play Jalen here being asked. I think this is the Marcus question. I'm not entirely sure. I'm going to play this right now, guys. Hang in.
Obviously, in the midst of trying to win games, you know, it's something that we probably didn't need. But, you know, we all communicate and talk to each other. So we're all trying to find ways to win. That was it. Team meeting, you know, just opportunity. To talk as a group, get some communication going in. And move forward. At the end of the day, you know, we've been playing basketball together for a long time, all of us, especially our core group. So when it comes down to it, you know, it's all about trying to find ways to win. And that's what most of the conversation was about.
Okay.
Fair.
Sounds like everyone just got their two cents.
I have no issues with that.
Yep.
Totally I just wish fair. I would have heard that after the, you know, the last game.
Yeah,
after Marcus spoke, right?
I get it. Here's the thing. I hate the lack of accountability after bad losses. Your best players have to stand up there and take the heat always. So Tatum not being one of the speakers last game, he has to be. It's a bad loss. You need your stars out there always to take the questions.
If people win the locker room, would they just ignore them?
In a win, no. But when the teams make them available, in a win, it's okay if Tatum had the third best game of everybody to let the two guys with the better stat lines talk, and he can sit that one out. In losses, your best players have to be there all the time. So both of them sitting it out, I didn't love. But Jaylen, I get, because he must have just heard it and he thought, I don't want to go out there and get blitzed with this stuff right now. I haven't had time to process it, and I'm just going to bow out. I think that makes more sense to me there. And so I get it. It had happened moments prior. And he's
and they want to talk about it as a team. Yeah.
They're just going to blitz me. I haven't had a chance to talk to him about it. I haven't heard it. I'm going to be asked about it. I don't know how to comment on it. So he just opted out there. But again, not having a shoot around, not having anything else, you've now gone a couple of days on it and you're hearing about it, you know, for the first time. But he's had plenty of time to think about it. It's a fair response, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not like bothered or triggered or angered by what he said. It makes a lot of sense. But the trick, Johnny, you touched on it, is accountability. It can't just be when shit hits the fan that all of a sudden now I need to be accountable. You need to be accountable win, lose, draw. And that's one of my issues with this team, is that they pick and choose when they want to be accountable. That doesn't fly.
Right. That's convenient. That's way too convenient.
This will sound silly, like, to a lot of people, but I'll ask you guys outright. Like, I mean, it'll seem like this is insignificant stuff, but I'm not sure if it is, so I want to ask you guys. Like, I know Jaylen is, like, mellow, okay? And Jason mumbles into his chest a little bit, okay? You're not getting a lot of these guys. How important is not just accountability, but almost putting on an act a little bit? You know, like, after a win, just a little pep, a little enthusiasm, a little lift, like, because you're the front facing, you know, people of the franchise. It is weird every time you get a win and you ask Jason Tatum about it, he's like, I just tried to get to the spots. And, you know, it was a good game.
Because the way this team's been for 2 years now, it's like winning's almost a relief. You know, it's not like it's exciting. It's like, ooh, man, we didn't get nailed tonight.
It's like you want to get excited. You want to get behind them. You want your teammates to see it too. Yeah. I don't know.
They've scraped out a couple wins against teams that they probably should have won against. It hasn't been a great, exciting win.
But to me, it's like, I think that matters some. Is so much of it. It's like, it's not that hard. Fucking Jimmy. It's not that hard to do this. Like, this is.
I did like Tatum going off the glass to Brown tonight.
I know. If that connected, I think that would have ended all their troubles, honestly. Yeah.
A lot of that stuff matters. Like, being a little bit of peppiness in that, a little bit more, you know, show on the court or whatever. It's just, you don't get a lot of it. So people don't have a lot to go on.
Even when they're playing well, it doesn't seem like there's any joy in them playing well.
Yeah.
And that is a little odd. But I can't remember who said it, but when you think back to all the games that they've won together, it's almost like they're numb to the fact that they've been so successful. And so when they do play well, it just doesn't feel like it's that big a deal to them.
This sounds like something I would write.
You know what I mean? So
together proves it there.
Yeah.
No,
these guys hate each other.
No, I got you, Shrub.
They don't hate each other. I don't think that they have the kind of relationship that all of us want them to have. They have the kind of relationship that works for them, and that's really what matters.
Well, the narrative of their career builds in this too, with what John's talking about. The early winning almost felt like a given, and then the expectation builds up to the point where, like I said, winning becomes a relief. It's the expectation. It's a relief. It doesn't feel great. People aren't surprised by it.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, I think attitude has a lot to do with it as well, or at least it could help the situation. You know, they don't have to create a new handshake, but, you know, I mean, the post-game interviews, whether it's that, or we don't know how these guys are when they're in practice and joking around and stuff, but
yeah, they may love it.
I just think win or lose, yeah, that would help. Just to show that hey, I'm excited to be in a situation. I'm excited.
It's the least of their problems. It's just every time you watch it, I'm like, are you happy? Be happy. Be happy right. that you won. You know, it's
playoffs are different, though. They playoffs not are be different. Happy and win, then be happy with what we're seeing. Do one or the other. If you can't do both, either kick ass and win games, or play with a little more joy. Give me one of the two.
Well, we know this team was going to be somewhat of a bridge team this year when we talked about expectations. I don't think any of our expectations were through the roof. The concern now is just we see what it looks like year in and year out when all the pressure's on these guys, and just scanning ahead into the future, even in the middle of the season. Like, I just don't know how much flexibility, how much ability that they're going to have in general to third star improve in general. And that's
really Jimmy was here for this comment, by the way. But anyway, go ahead, Bobby.
That's the long outlook concern that you have with this group. And we can talk about personalities and chemistry and all this stuff all day long. When you just look at the roster that's slapped down in front of you, I know we all had varying ideas.
Did we lose Bobby?
Oh, man. One by one.
One by one.
Is this a Squid Game? And I didn't know about it.
It's Squid Game. It's Final Destination.
Nah, I'll keep my life. I'm good. I definitely wouldn't have gone back.
Joe, but I'll keep you alive. Brock,
you got me back now.
I would have been one of those few people that didn't go back. I would have been like, no, I'm good. I'll take my problems.
Bobby just broke the honeycomb. Yep.
hey, no spoilers.
Okay.
Hey, Brock and Bobby, someone said.
Bobby got the umbrella honeycomb. Anyway, we did lose Jimmy, went au revoir, and that's fine. We're going to wrap it up ourselves in a little bit. Thank you guys for hanging out. Guys, final takes here before we say goodnight. Again, it's a win they had to have. They're going on to Miami.
What would we have said tonight if they lost? Oh, it would have been
God, that first half, holy crap. You know,
they
like
were
I
down
said,
by 5-6. It wasn't looking good.
You know, they played, it wasn't 12 minutes. It was like, yeah, they were right. What did it go? Was it 5-6? When did that lead get to 6-7 in the second quarter? Right,
yeah, I think it was the second quarter.
And then the third quarter, Minnesota came out and just
and then they shut it down. Right. No, I just couldn't remember when that peaked. I think it was a 7-point lead at some point.
Yeah.
In the second quarter, but you're right. I mean, that just a really putrid first half. But again, it's good to see them having gear to play basically a quarter's worth of basketball and put a team away, and that's what they did. They had to do it. They had their players only meeting. They had their distraction. More positives than negatives to come from tonight because you needed. You needed the W. They needed to have the uncomfortable conversation. So Joe Sway gets to check his box. A lot of stuff got done.
Hey,
so,
and 79 points. It doesn't matter who you're playing today. That's good defense. So that's what I've been looking for.
That's the carryover that has to happen in Miami, right? I mean, that's this is my final thought here. Like, regardless of what's up, Jimmy?
Sorry. Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Here he is.
Sorry.
Like, regardless of the outcome, regardless of the outcome, I want to see the best defense we've ever seen from this team. That's how we're going to know how close these guys were. Well, not close, but that's how we're going to know how far that conversation went in the sense of actually coming to a positive result. Can these guys all be committed on defense the way we saw in the preseason? I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but that's exactly true. I mean, that the best I've seen this team defend is in the preseason, you know? And I want to see them get back to that, or at least just try to maintain that as much as possible against the Miami Heat. And that'll give yourself a chance for sure. But also, Jason Tatum's going to do his part in the offensive end, I think, for sure. So
perfect time to be playing Miami. You're coming off a win. Yeah. A lot of the questions that people have had about this team, you've addressed to some degree against a bad Orlando team. But can you do it against a team that's playing for something other than damn ping pong balls? Miami is legit. I mean, when you look at their roster, you look at the way that they play, look at the fact that they've added some new pieces to the mix as well, and they're not having nearly as many issues in terms of, you know, being able to play together harmoniously as the Celtics are. This is a great test for the Celtics to see where they are because I think the Celtics have every reason to feel better about themselves because they beat Orlando. But if you beat Miami in Miami, now you're starting to do the kind of things that those who thought you would be better than you played can feel better about investing in you. I'm not quite ready to sell my Celtics stock just yet, but
oh, we're having that conversation? Not yet, Sherrod.
Well, listen, Joe Sway, and let's keep it real. There's a lot of people that have gone to the bank and said, I'm withdrawing all my Celtics stock because they're not going to be this, that, or the other. I don't think we're there yet because I do think the season will get better. Yeah, they'll get better as the season progresses, but is that going to translate to wins? I don't know. But they will be better.
That's fair.
Okay. Yeah. Fair.
What you got, Jimmy?
What's the question since I missed it?
Wrap it up, buddy.
You're not going to trade for Evan Fournier. All right?
Wrap it up, Frenchie. Whatever you got.
Don't get me going on Fournier.
If we're looking ahead to,
or Yabusele, we're not bringing him back.
Lean back away from your microphone. Why not?
Yabu's not getting a tryout, all right?
Tonight's game, an expected win is what it is. I'm not going to harp on it. If we're looking ahead to tomorrow, it's pretty simple. You're going into Miami, you're playing a bunch of winners. And right now, you guys are a bunch of losers. So prove people wrong. Prove that you guys are winners. Go in there and punch them first. No, it's true, though. I mean, I'm not even trying to be mean about it. Like, find me a winner.
But you are.
No, I'm trying to be real. I mean, I don't know who would argue the point. The Heat are winners. They've been there. They've, beaten you. They've got a guy named Kyle Lowry on their team who knows what it takes to win a championship. Certainly Jimmy Butler knows what it takes to win. We already talked about Tyler Hero this season.
This team can make them look really bad tomorrow.
This is the kind of game. So compete. If you come out on the wrong end of it, that's another story. It's how you come out on that other end. I'd love to see them pull out a win, but I don't think I know they're not going to go in as the favorite tomorrow. But if they can show that they have some fight in them and that they're playing together, that's what it's about. It's not about Jason Tatum dropping 35. It's about doing what it takes to win these games and putting yourself in a position, making the players around you better. That's really what I'm looking for. So if they can show up and make it a game tomorrow, at the very least, then I feel like that's still a loser's mentality to say, like, oh, let's find a silver lining here. But the way that the season started, I'm looking for silver linings. And that would be.
No, and they're a worse team than the Heat. So you go in there, you're underdog, you're on national TV. It's the kind of game you can get up for, because what we've been talking about through some of these losses are losing to teams you shouldn't be losing to, or at least you shouldn't be getting blown out and bodied by. So this is a good opportunity here to kind of play up and wake up for a game, especially on a back-to-back where they're only going to have a couple hours here until they're ramping up again for this one. And you did some good things the night before. They can translate this a little bit easier than they would if they were just going home and taking a day off in Boston.
I hate cliches, but this is a 48-minute game. This is one of those games where if they play like the first 38 minutes and then do what they did with the Bulls and take their foot off the gas, they'll get absolutely blown by. Like, they can't have lapses anywhere here. They can't have a ton of bad stretches. They can't lose focus. They can't play disconnected.
It could be one of those comeback games, though. I wouldn't be surprised.
They really, really, really got to keep it together.
Maybe in a losing effort.
Miami has their S together. And if
you turn the ball over at bad possessions, they get your ass running the other way.
Yeah. So the
points could pile up.
That's the thing, is like you saw it with the Bulls. They're like, oh, good. You're shutting down for a little. Let me blow your doors off here. I think Miami can absolutely do that.
Let me add one more thing too. Also, keep an eye on that matchup between Bam Adebayo and Robert Williams. I think that's a really good. That's a good another test for Rob. Because remember last year he was on the wrong side of some.
You okay?
One-sided battles.
That's an eight.
I'm gonna call in sick for this one.
Come on, John. We can queue up this segment for less than 24 hours, right? So we'll have it ready for you.
John might.
The Heat have so many more good players than the Celtics do.
There's an NBA TV game, by the way. But
just keep your eye on this matchup. We'll see. That's the key test right there, right, John? That's how we'll be able to gauge how far off the drop off has been for Rob. We'll see. I don't think it's been that off lately, but I hear what you're saying, John. I hear you.
What a killer that Bulls game was. You just talk about how you'd be feeling going into this. If that Bulls game, if they just held on, didn't have that epic, even in the fourth quarter tonight, like when they went to the fourth up, 19, it was like, all right, it should be over, but let's see.
I know. That's true.
Yeah.
All right. None of us was like, this one's done. We're like,
who has not gotten a closing thought here? Cause I want to, we got to wrap it. We've been going for a bit. Everybody good?
Yeah.
We're good.
We're good.
All right, guys. No, that's it. We did it. Congratulations.
All right. Did it. We'll see everybody.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. Beat the Magic.
Au revoir, Jimmy.
Yeah. Say bonsoir to everybody. Go to calm.com/garden. Receive 40% off Calm Premium subscription. Number one sleep and meditation app out there. Sponsor of the Garden Report. So please support our sponsors. Thank you guys for hanging out. Go play your little rain sounds.
The great deal. Go get it, guys. Calm.com/garden.
Calm.com/garden. We're back tomorrow, I guess. And we'll see what happens.